wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and yet another win, yet another. It just doesn't matter who's pitching, it doesn't matter who you're playing. This team is just, I mean, you're doubting of them earlier this year, just last week, as a matter of fact. Doesn't it look a little embarrassing now for you?
Was I doubting them?
I don't know. I just said that. Just.
I doubted him headed in. I apologized Friday. You were out. I apologized to them for what I said their record would be against the Yankees and the Mets.
Me too.
I'm like, I was hoping for a 5-4 that would be incredible, but probably more like 4-5. They go 7-2, should have been 9-0. Frankly, they should be on a win streak right now of what, 17 games? They should be on a 17-game win streak right now. I mean, they should. They should have won all 9 and then 3. And then 2, they should be at 14. They should have a 14-game win streak.
And they beat the White Sox in their last
game. Oh, yeah, that would be the 15. Yeah, 15. They should be on like a 15-game win streak right now.
Right. But it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take this. But yeah. Batting practice, Greinke was a nice little treat. He's got nothing left. He's gritty. Like, he can make his pitches from time to time. But over the course of a game, the good hitters are going to get to him. And he's 2-4 headed into the game. He's 2-5 now. And that inning, what inning was that? Was that the
fifth?
Fifth, yeah.
Where they hit two of them.
Where it was nothing but rockets.
Yeah.
Just nothing but rockets off of Greinke. Everyone was hitting rocket ships off of him. Even the lasers, even the base hits. Jordan had a big, a hard hit single off of him. You had Breggy taking him deep. Everyone was getting after him that inning. And it was a wrap, but it was an interesting game. A lot of different things. Like, it was kind of crazy that you had Garcia struggling the way he did early in that game, and yet he was able to go as relatively deep as he went in the game. He didn't actually get into a ton of pitches. He ended up becoming more efficient with his pitches after the early
section. Couple of questions. Is Bregman back?
Bregman's back. It's official now. I thought it was official last week. I mean, it is all the way official. So I was watching post game. He said,
Here's Bregman post game on his resurgence and Jordan's too.
No, it was awesome. Just a big momentum swing right there in a tight game. And that's what great players like Jordan does it on both sides of the ball. Just a huge, huge play defensively, and then comes up and add some insurance.
I know he wasn't healthy for a lot of it. How much better and more confident has he gotten in left field?
I think he's really good out there, especially throwing. He has extremely good arm and he's very accurate. So at first I was like, oh, he overthrew me, and then I was like, oh, he's out. Because just being funny, I didn't think we had a chance, and then all of a sudden he was out.
Alex, given the fans are chanting MVP, what do you think Alex is right now and that sort of stuff?
I think it's awesome. I think he deserves those chances. He's been unbelievable. He's been amazing all year, and it's definitely fun to be on his team.
What's it like facing Greinke and a couple hits off him?
Yeah, it's always tough. He's a great teammate, future Hall of Famer, and it's always been fun competing with him and being on his team. It's always tough facing guys that you know really well and that you like so much. So,
is this the best you felt consistently, game to game this season offensively?
Yeah, I'm feeling good at the plate right now. Seeing the ball well, swinging at strikes, taking balls. All day long. So today that was good. It was good.
Did you get?
Well, that's what I was going to mention. Swinging it, where he basically says, swinging it, you know, taking ball, swinging it strikes. That was the thing that he said that I thought it was simple, but it made a lot of sense. Where he's basically just telling you, I'm just the pitches I need to be swinging at, I'm swinging at now, and the pitches I don't, I don't. It just, I think he's talking about better plate discipline. And it was weird that when I looked at the stats, even when he was going really badly, it was strange that he was hitting over 300 when he was ahead in the count, and then he was hitting in the 100s when he was behind in the count. And so it was, there was a very definitive line of demarcation between Alex Bregman, competent hitter, and Alex Bregman, bad at the plate. But even this year, he still had, you know, he still showed that when he was ahead in the count, he could be a good hitter. Now, he's just got a lot of confidence at the plate. And Alex Bregman's back. And you know what else, John? I love the fact that I love the way the lineup is constructed now.
That's
with
the
Nord
other
on
question.
Three and Pena, too. This is really seems to be
what
it.
What happens when Brantley comes back?
Brantley goes to two because Dusty's an old school creature of habit. He doesn't change those things.
See, here's the new thinking on, you know, Jeremy, I don't know why it gets to me sometimes, but when Brantley went down with his shoulder injury, he moved Jordan into the three hole and Bregman into the four hole,
mm-hmm.
so that he could split up Tucker, because you only got two left-handed bats. You don't want Jordan and Tucker 4 and 5. You want to at least split those up. So it has worked out beautifully. Jeremy was like, you don't take the four hole hitter. You don't take the OPS guy out of the four hole. Yeah, you do. In today's game, the two hole is the most important. That's where Trout hits. That's where Judge hits. That's where I just read an article where Barry Bonds would hit. If he played today,
really?
He would hit in the two hole. That's where Barry Bonds would hit. That's the new wave of thinking about the lineup.
Well, because the one, you know, you want to have pop off the one, but the 9 and the 8 in most lineups not going to be very good
right.
hitters. You know, you're not in an RBI situation.
Right, right. And so you got the leadoff hitter that's supposed to do his leadoff stuff, but the two-hole hitter is the most important. He can get on base, but he can also knock in runs. Anyway, so it's not the way it is right now. It's Jeremy Pena in the two-hole, which is just fine because he's doing a hell of a job in the two-hole, actually. But Jordan
another home run yesterday, by the way.
Yeah. Jordan in the three is interesting in that when Brantley comes back, I guess you put Brantley in the two and you keep Jordan in the three. You have Bregman in the four, Tucker in the five. You got to move Pena down to seven because probably Yuli in the six and Pena in the seven. I don't love it.
And here's why. Well, you're going to see more righties than lefties, so you understand it. Because Michael Brantley's just simply not as good against lefties. But you'll see more righties. But I really feel like it's a more vibrant lineup with Pena, with Pop at the two. And some might say, no, you want some Pop. You know, let's expand the home run power of the lineup by having Pena at six or seven. And I would get that, too. I just think Pena's been really confident there. Bregman, I would not mess with Bregman right now.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't mess with
Bregman.
Either. You keep him at four. Jordan's going to hit wherever he hits. He took another pitch. You know, I had a listener say on Twitter yesterday, no, I disagree with you. I listened to your the podcast. I disagree with you. Jordan just hit a really hard pitch to hit, and it was a dot, meaning, you know, just a fastball. A, it was a slider. B, it caught way too much of the play.
No,
and
a homer,
it was
a
pitch,
yeah.
And you just don't throw him anything remotely hittable at 3-1. Yesterday was another example of of fortifying what I was talking about. Look at the ball he hit yesterday, which was a legit changeup that may have painted the corner of the plate a little bit. And what did he do? He rips it. This is the very point I'm making. You can't play stupid games against Jordan. You can't play those kind of games or he will ruin you because he doesn't try to pull everything. He goes the other way with it. I mean, and he goes the other way with power. You play around with him and that's what you're gonna mess around and find out. You're going to F around and find out if you try to paint little, you know, you get behind in the it's to the point now. There was an at-bat where Jordan, they got behind Jordan 2-0. And the next two pitches were dirt to load the bases. It was almost like, we're not messing with this. We're not messing with
Yordan. That's
just
smart. That's just smart baseball.
And of course, later on, he ended up having a home run against him. But with the lineup, John, we end up talking about the lineup a lot, and sometimes I don't really care that much about the configuration once a game starts. But I do think that I'm also superstitious. I don't mess with Alex Bregman at all. Bregman, he's just too important. If this is where he's feeling it, don't move him at all. The two hole, I think Jeremy Pena, you can move him out of there and he'll be fine. I don't think it's ultimately going to be a big deal. But I also think that, you know what? The professional hitter, he also can hit further down in the lineup if he needs to. I think it's also reasonable to think that Michael Brantley could be hitting six and Yuli hitting seven, except you have lefty-lefty, you know, with Tucker and Brantley. You know, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Brantley was hitting seven.
You're going to, as long as Tucker's in the five hole, which he needs to be, so don't mess with that either.
Right.
Leave Tucker in the five hole. Do not drop him to six again.
Then Yuli's going to be,
here's how if you want to bring Bregman back up to three, you can have Brantley two, Bregman three, Yordan four, Yuli five, and Tucker six, which would be terrible. Don't do that again. Leave Tucker in the five.
I'd rather have lefty,
have
lefty,
lefty,
back
lefty back. Yeah, back to back. Have Brantley in the two hole. If he's got to have Brantley in the two hole because he's an homage to Uncle Mike, then leave Yordan in the three, leave Bregman in the four, leave Tucker in the five, and work the rest of it out. If Pena's got to drop, he's the youngster. He's new to the club. He's been great. That's awesome. But if he's got to drop to the seven hole because of your deference to all of these veteran players, then so be it. I mean, if Uncle Mike has got a bad second, he's got a bad second.
I get pissed off when I hear stuff like that.
Well,
it irritates me that I don't know that that's the thing, but I think you might be right. I don't make decisions ever on Jake Odorizzi will be upset that he's in the bullpen. Michael Brantley's been in the league all these years. You can't possibly move him. That can never be the thought. And I'm not saying and I know you're not saying necessarily it is, but you're also not saying it isn't. That Dusty may feel that way. I mean, to me, you have to do what's right for your baseball team. It can never be about if Jake Odorizzi gets his feelings hurt because he has to pitch out of the pen or Jake's going to be mad. Jake's not my dad. Jake Odorizzi's not my dad. What do I care if Jake gets mad? Michael Brantley's been hitting a long time. You don't want to move him to seven. Why? He's going to kick your ass? No. He's going to hit you with a bat while you sleep? No. Then I don't care. Michael Brantley will be okay if he doesn't hit in a two hole.
Well,
Michael Brantley, guess who's going to be here next year?
That's why you're not manager.
Guess who's going to be here
next
year? Jeremy Pena. Guess who's not going to be here next year? Michael Brantley.
So you know why? Because you moved him out of the two hole. That's why he's going to leave.
Let me tell you, and I'm pretty excited about what Jake Myers is doing right now.
I'm kind of excited about
Jake Myers. Jake Myers isn't really caring what you're throwing him right now. Jake Myers looks like Jake Myers is so much better than Siri and McCormick. Wild, crazy swinging McCormick is just not in the same league with Jake as they
are. When we come back, Jeff Passan got a little lippy, and so did MLB Network. I was watching MLB Central yesterday, and they're flying loose with this Wilson Contreras talk. We'll talk about it on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios. I met with Stephen Schell the other day. Well, I had drinks at the same time he was drinking at Booze Can over at Riel. But we were talking about how business is going. The business is going great for him because so many of you who have had your patios done, you tell other people and you're the best advertisement for them. When your friends and neighbors and family members come over, that's great advertising because they see the unbelievable work he does. And it's with Texas Custom Patios, it starts with the process. They execute from start to finish. They come out, they get the measurements. He gives you a rendering that is lifelike in the CAD design. And then the design team can really show you what your outdoor living area can look like, including with your kitchen. What kind of kitchen are you going to put in? Are you going to have a kitchen? Are you going to have one TV or multiple TVs? There's people doing multiple TVs now, like basically making it look like their own sports bar. They've got an island there where you can sit at. You got a TV here, a TV there. Big giant fans. You've got the sound system and the pitched roof, and of course stone. In many of the instances, you've got stone columns and surroundings that really give it a beautiful, beautiful look and design. And they build it onto your existing structure like it's always been there forever. Or if you want it built separately, they can do that as well. They do pool houses all the time. Texas Custom Patios. Let them turn your outdoor area into an oasis. Let them turn your house into a home and really improve that quality of life. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
I'm so tall, balling. Donald Trump taking dollars from y'all. Baby, you're fired, your girlfriend hired. But if you don't mind, I'ma keep you on call.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's 717 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I was just carry this over. So, you know, I'm usually pretty much in control when we go out. I'm always the designated driver for the most part. So I keep it together. I keep it together. When I'm not going to, you know, we Uber. And the other day I told my wife, I said, I'd been at Booze Can, and I said, you know, and I thought that was going to be it. That was all I'm going to have, just a couple drinks. And that's it. We went to a concert. So I went to a Jason Isbell concert, and I started having some pops. And I gave her the keys. I'm like, this isn't going to work out for me. I got to a place where I haven't been probably since we did Bull Blasters at Wago Palooza in 07. That's the place I got to. And my wife, I've messed with her about when she's had too much. You know, I've given her the business, and she apparently, I was so embarrassing he was saying, I was holding up my giant can that I was drinking because I had a lot of those giant cans, and I was yelling at the stage, let's effing go. And now I kind of recall it. I don't all the way recall it. And some of the conversations I definitely don't remember some of the pictures that were in my phone. I'm like, I don't remember taking pictures with these people. And so now my wife yesterday, like randomly would text, she'd see me and she's like, let's effing go. And she's torturing me the whole, and she goes, you've been had your snide little comments for years when I've had too much to drink. So I'm going to use this forever on you.
Good like, for
yeah,
her.
Typical,
good for her.
Typical, like a woman would do.
Good for
try
her.
To use something forever against me. I don't use my stuff against you when you've been sleeping on the floor because you liked how cold the tile felt.
I don't know what happened.
By the toilet.
I don't know what happened to me yesterday. We played golf at Wildcat yesterday. Beautiful day. Can't be nicer out. It's perfect out. And the course was great. We had a lot of fun. I don't know what happened to me, though. I went to dinner. I don't remember a thing. Not a thing from dinner. I went with my wife, and she was like, what is wrong
with you?
Drink
these dumb hard seltzers.
I was,
yeah. And I was pounding these hard seltzers because you can't really.
I don't know.
Like, you don't really taste
them,
I guess.
What happened? No, you don't. And it's
and all
just,
of a sudden, I just realized.
Well, we had all hands out at our golf tournament, right? You weren't there. You couldn't play. So there was no Frisbees there, so you couldn't play. So we had it out there, and I tried it out there, and I was like, oh, cool. Well, the cart girl came around, and I was like, you know what? I'll try one of these all hands. Holy crap, dude. Just I'm staying with Coors Light for the rest of my life. Never. I mean, no, nothing against them, but I'm going to tell you what. Don't let them tell you there's no alcohol in those things because there's alcohol. Holy moly. I got wasted yesterday.
Yeah, sometimes it's sneaky.
It was real sneaky. All hands? You guys are doing a good job. You guys are not cheating anybody on your alcohol consumption. I guarantee
but
you.
You're not cheating anyone on your alcohol.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, hey, but you went from Coors Light to vodka. There's a difference in alcohol content.
Huge difference. If you haven't seen this, I don't know. It's Simply Safe. It's a video of this family out in the front yard.
Did you retweet it?
I am going to retweet it right
so
now. Retweet it right now. And you've got to look at, if you haven't seen this video of this family blowing off fireworks in their front yard, their car ended up blowing up. That's how well they did this. I mean, talk about, holy crap. You want to talk about a gigantic fireworks explosion in somebody's front yard. If you haven't seen this, I just retweeted it. Go to my Twitter feed and check it out. It is, you people, I mean, talk about the dumbest stuff. 4th of July is for, I don't know, you don't blow off fireworks, do you?
No, I did whenever we, no. Not for years and years. I used to do it like when I went to my grandparents in Kansas out on farms.
I never,
remember those
snakes
where you lit that black and the black thing would go.
Too many people losing their hands and their eyes.
I've got snacks. I can't mess with
him.
He's too dangerous. I cannot have. He got an Oculus. He bought it himself, which is the VR thing. And all of a sudden, I just hear, I'm watching the Astros game, and I hear like this huge shatter. Like, what the hell? I go out there. This dummy had punched. I just got these new ceiling fans put in with light kit on it. He had punched the ceiling fan light, and it shattered all over his room into a billion pieces. Just like those firework explosions. That's what it was, but with glass all over the
because
place.
Of
and he's like.
Virtual reality?
And he turned. Yeah. And his hand, he punched it. Mason was doing the same thing in the room, and a ceiling fan, which was going fast, hit him in the hand, and like we thought it may have broken his thumb. These my kids, and you know, the grades reflect it, this level of street smarts. Hey, when your brother almost got his hand chopped off trying to do virtual reality in the room, did you maybe think you shouldn't do it in there and shatter this whole thing? That I was so pissed off. He shattered. I just bought this. He shattered it all over the place. We're cleaning up glass for like
an hour.
That's
what you get for having kids. That's on you.
So you think I'm going to let this kid have fireworks?
No.
Fire off fireworks? We would definitely go to the hospital.
Oh, Tony says, we talking giant cans, guys? CCATX hobo girl. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't know what that means.
Tony, I'm not sure what you mean.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure what giant cans you mean.
I bet y'all could have done some damage with some of those M80s, back in the day, your gang, the animals. If you had some M80s, hardcore, which is basically explosives.
Oh, no, my buddies did all. I know why I was there. I like my fingers. I've always done
that. I know fire. Well, I knew people who had, bottle rocket fights.
Yeah.
Where you put shooting bottle rockets at each other.
Everybody did that.
Or Roman candles, you should not shoot them.
No. But bottle rockets, you shot at each other in a park. Absolutely. People are getting reckless with this Wilson Contreras talk. People are, yesterday on MLB, Robert Flores' show, he had, Mark DeRosa, some other guy, and then he had this guy who made bold predictions, and the guy said, add Wilson Contreras to the Astros. And I just got, and then Jeff Passan also said it, was talking about it yesterday, and saying Wilson Contreras to the Astros, they're so good, and blah, blah, blah. The Astros ain't giving up on Maldi behind the plate. I just got news for everybody. Mm-mm. That just ain't happening. I don't care. Yesterday was another example. Everybody in the lineup hit. Maldonado, 0 for 3. It doesn't matter.
That matters.
It just doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. He's just too valuable. I mean, if you think Dusty won't mess around with the lineup because, he doesn't want to hurt, you think Dusty's going to mess around with the starting pitching and their catcher and the guy that – really, frankly, has a phenomenal personality.
You know what, though? Everybody will love Wilson Contreras,
too. Probably would, that's why they call him Machete.
I know.
Machete is a great defensive catcher. He calls a great game, and he's just – there's something about him. Like, even if you brought in Contreras, I guarantee you he's only three of the five would he start at most. Because Fromber – you're not messing with Fromber and – they're just not going to mess with Fromber and Maldonado. They're not. And probably my guess would be maybe Garcia would be the other guy. Like, where they're going to have personal catches.
I'm going to tell you, they all – Machete is the most beloved guy in that locker room.
He's beloved.
Beloved.
I can't see the Contreras talk. I just can't see it. It's, you have a primarily Latin-speaking pitching staff. And I mean,
well, Contreras
relievers too.
Is that too, though.
Relievers, too. No, I know he is, but he's got a relationship with them already.
Right. But Hector, I'm going to tell you this.
And Joel, whoa, what do you stand on this? Joel yesterday goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, what are you talking about? This is when I was leaving yesterday. He goes, Hector.
Neris.
Did you say Neris? It's Neris. I said.
No, his name's Neris.
It's Neris. He goes, no, it's Neris.
No.
He goes, yeah, no. He goes, I have a Spanish-speaking wife, too, or it's been with a Spanish name. Lisa Hernandez.
Hernandez.
I don't say Hernandez.
Hernandez.
It's Hernandez. I will admit sometimes there's some words, like I don't say taco. You say taco, but I say churro. because I feel like that's the only way you're. I know I don't roll the R's.
You got to roll the R's.
I don't roll the R's I Americanize it, I still respect churro. The churro. But anyway, he's like, and I'm like, no, it's going to be Nettie's. I don't know what to tell you. That's the way I'm programmed to say it. It's Hector Nettie's.
His name is Hector Nettie's. That's it.
I don't say
you can't.
Mariana. I say Mariana.
Mariana.
That's my daughter's name. Mariana. Yeah,
that's right.
Mari. We don't say Mariana.
No. Just because you're American, Joel, with your white face. Just
because you're from Green Bay doesn't mean we have to say Neris.
Hey there. We don't all have to say, hey, how you
this
is
isn't
doing?
This is an episode of Fargo.
No, this isn't. You know what it is? It's America. And you say Hector Neris.
It's Hector.
Hector. Neris. It's actually Hector.
It is Hector.
Hector.
I say Hector.
No.
There's no ER, but that's sometime I American it, sometime I don't.
What do you mean, what are you doing?
But you got him, you got Montero, you've got, I don't know, is Abreu, Spanish speaking?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Not as a native, I don't think.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Montero. You got him too. Listen, Joel, we don't all talk Green Bay, okay? All right? We talk American, and America, his name is Neris, okay?
America also speaks Spanish.
That's right.
We speak Spanish, right, too, in America, at least here in Texas.
728 ESPN 97.
Maybe you ever heard of Tex-Mex, Joel.
Anyway.
That's exactly what we're doing with names.
Anyway, Tex-Mex. You're all getting reckless. And Jeff Passan said, oh, what about Josh Bell at first base? Guess what?
And Yuli's like, excuse me?
Yuli, you ain't getting rid of Yuli either, by the way. It just ain't happening. Now, center field? Maybe.
I'm surprised they didn't bring that up at all. They didn't bring up outfield at all.
And you know what? That's probably the number one place where you would find a trade, although there's really nobody out there.
Buster Olney said the Astros are digging around on outfield. He said that a week and a half ago. Are they still? I can tell you this. I think with every at-bat that Jake Meyers looks confident and drives in runners in scoring position and fields his position – they become probably more confident, more and more confident. I also know that once the postseason rolls around, it's a different story, and he's probably going to struggle because that's one of the things. The regular season versus postseason, we saw it with Yuli. I mean, we saw Yuli in Yordan in 19. Yordan, rookie of the year in 19, but then when he was in the postseason, it was like I was writing him off as an automatic out in the postseason. Yordan was just terrible in the postseason. Sometimes these young hitters, once they get there, it's just too much for them.
Well, we'll see.
Jake got hurt in a White Sox series, so it's not like he played a lot of playoff baseball last year.
No. 729, although he was clutch all year long. 729, and hopefully he'll stay that way. 729, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Billy Horschel went off on the LIV golfers. We'll talk about it. We'll hear from him on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, a little siding is what we need.
Allstate Windows and Siding. Well, you know what you really need? Siding is one thing. Siding can really beautify your home. You may have some of the old siding that is starting to peel off your home. I had some of that and had to have Allstate come and take care of an entire side of my house. But also, you may have old wood. You may have wood that's becoming dilapidated in the back of your home, on the side, maybe in the front. Maybe you have a combination wood and brick. You got a house from the 60s. I can tell you this, the siding makes a huge difference. Really beautifies, and it's once it's up there, it's so easy to clean with a power washer. You know, you can keep your house looking great. It helps to better insulate your home. Windows, oh my gosh, up to 40% difference with your air conditioning bill. Up to 40% difference when you get windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. Number one, windows made right here in Texas. Number two, they're retrofit to your space, to your window frame, so that you don't have the leakage. And it really can make a huge, huge difference with your electric bill when you are not leaking with your windows. You right now, 25% discount when you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and 36 months 0% financing, 3 full years to pay it off if you choose. So you can really get the payments very low, and you can do the entire house right now if you want to with great new windows from my friends over at AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, the Astros are proving they are ready for the world. RJ knows what I'm talking about there. Just a little shout-out to the song he's playing. They're ready for the world, and if you want to come after the Astros, you better get ready because they've got their bombers out again. Bregman's hitting home runs. Pena hits home runs. He hit his 12th. Yordan is on pace for MVP. For the first time, we heard MVP chants at the game yesterday.
Well, the throw.
We didn't talk about the throw. That was shocking. Okay, that was shocking to me.
Why? He's got a good arm. I mean, he's shown it before.
I don't see it a whole lot, though.
Well, no, because he doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of plays. But
fly ball to relatively deep left field. And I mean, you know, just it wasn't a few short
of the track.
And threw it in, no hopper.
Well, luckily, it was like a slow white guy that was running.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it was first of all, hell of a play by Maldonado.
Yeah.
But he caught it off the baseline. You know, it was a little off line, but not bad. He caught it dove to his right to make the tag.
So now I'm seeing, instead of when he got hurt, why is he out there? Never play him in the outfield again. But you can't play Yordan.
I was on
too
that team.
Valuable.
You're too scared that he's going to hurt himself.
No.
Hurt his knees.
No.
Remember when he slid?
I don't like him running the base.
Yeah.
I don't like him running
the
base.
Well, no, you didn't like him sliding,
trying to go get that ball.
Yeah,
I don't like any of that stuff.
Well, that's part of playing
outfield.
But I
understand that. Now it went from that to, well, Yordan can play left every day, Brantley in right, Tucker in center, and we're all set, and we're all good. Everything is fine. And now that's what we've gone to, right? Because he made one throw from the outfield. It was a hell of a throw. Don't get me wrong. But Yordan is still going to DH a bunch. He can still DH, and he can play left field, though. I mean, this thing that Yordan can't play left field, I don't know where that came from because he's actually played a decent left field. Whether or not you want to risk Yordan in the outfield is another question.
Well, his throw was great. I mean, he does have a big arm. And if you missed it, he threw a man out at the plate. And then the next thing he came up and hit a home run, took a changeup just off the strike zone and plowed it into left field, you know, hit it the other way, which he's great at doing. The fans were cheering MVP when he came up to the plate, and then he hit a home run.
Yeah.
And Jeff Blum even said, you know, honestly, I've been waiting for this to happen. I was wondering when this was going to finally happen. He, you know, he hadn't said anything about it, but that was the first time that he, and he was talking about when this is going to happen, meaning the fans were going to start chanting MVP for Yordan, because realistically, Yordan right now should be top of the food chain. If you want to look at MVPs, you got a successful team. He's done it in big situations. He is RBI, home run, and batting average. So, you know,
OPS, he's
triple
leading
crown type stuff. Yeah. OPS. I mean, it's hard to find. He plays in the field some of the time. It's hard to find weaknesses for Yordan. And Yordan really does. He wasn't on the 17 team, so you voters can't hold that against him. Yordan right now, I'm going to check what the current update is, but why shouldn't he be MVP?
Well, it's going to be funny. He and Shohei are fighting it out to be who's going to be the starting DH in the All-Star game.
Oh, that player for the losing Angels?
Well, but he's Shohei. And then it's between him and Judge for MVP. That's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to him and Judge, and Judge has gotten so much love. Judge got his 1 year contract that he worked out, $19 million. Judge started so hot. Judge still has him in homers. I believe he has him in RBIs as well. Yordan's got him in OPS right now, but he's in New York and he's Judge, so it's going to be awfully difficult for Yordan. Yordan is going to have an uphill climb to win this MVP. I don't think there's any question.
29-60. Those are his numbers. 29-60. Yordan has played fewer games, and he's almost to the 60 RBI mark.
Yeah.
And you're right, OPS, Aaron Judge is at 972. Yordan's over 1,000. The RBI mark is very, very close. He's got him in home runs. He scored, you know,
We know how important that is in 25-29.
But your team winning is also important, too.
Well, they still got the best record.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
But, hey, it is not out of the realm of possibility now that the Astros catch them. All right, the way that they're playing, there's no way that the Yankees could possibly. They just could not. They're 58-23, and the Astros are 53-27. It's a 4.5 game lead right now. That's it. The Astros are only 4.5 behind the Yankees right now.
That's it.
When it was looked like it was going to be insurmountable. They've got a 13-game lead over the Red Sox, but they're only 4.5 up on the Astros. It is not inconceivable that the Astros would have the best record in the American League. And you know what I think? I think they're going to need it.
John, he's ahead of Aaron by a full 100 points in OPS. He's behind by 2 RBIs and behind by 4 home runs, and his batting average is 30 points higher. Like, you're going to have to explain why.
Because it's New York and Judge. That's why. That's why.
So just because of where he lives. Yeah.
Finally, ESPN jumped on the Yordan bus yesterday. They finally jumped on the Yordan bus yesterday. But he homered again last night, and I don't see anything here on ESPN.
Yeah, no, they showed it.
They did?
At 7-11. I looked at the time frame. They showed him. They showed his play in the field, and they showed his. You can't show highlights of a game and not show Yordan.
No.
Like, it's impossible. Well, Yordan's going to show up in your highlights.
Well, they're and believe it or not, they are going to need that. They're going to need ESPN to jump on board. I know the Astros' hatred, but they're going to need ESPN to jump on board if Yordan's going to get the kind of love that he needs for a PR push with the media. That's for sure. I mentioned Billy Horschel. Okay, live golfers, as far as Billy Horschel is concerned, he's had enough of them. Okay, here's Billy Horschel talking about the live golfers and how hypocritical they are.
There's a lot of guys that are hypocrites, that aren't telling the truth, that are lying about some things, that I can't stand to sit here anymore and be diplomatic about it, as I have been in the past. I don't fault anyone for going to play the live tour. I don't have any ill will for anyone going to play the live tour. I have ill will towards the comments that they've made. Comments saying that Jay Monahan doesn't listen to the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour doesn't listen to us. Jay Monahan and everyone at headquarters is the PGA Tour. They work tirelessly for us to reap the financial rewards and have all the opportunities we have. At the same time, I am one of 200-plus members of the PGA Tour. I am the PGA Tour, just as two other 100 members of PGA Tour. So when you're taking shots at the PGA Tour, you're taking, and Jay Monahan, you're just not taking shots at them, you're taking shots at us. And to say that they don't listen is a complete farce. It really is. They can't listen. If they listen to everything every 200-plus players on the PGA Tour said, our tour would be a complete mess. We wouldn't even have a tour. And so it's ridiculous to hear some of these comments some of these guys made saying, well, you know, this allows me to play less tournaments. I've played 30, 35 weeks a year. No one's forced you to play that many events. The PGA Tour says 15 events minimum. All you have to do is play 15 events. If you keep your card in those 15 events, then that's fine. You don't have to play. If you want to play it better or you want to play more so you get a chance to win the FedEx Cup, so be it. So be it.
Billy Horschel unloading on the hypocrites that are, I don't know if they're hypocrites. They've got their point of view. There was a picture of Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau has an entourage with him all the time that videotapes him so for his social media, and he's branding himself, okay? Mm-hmm. And on the PGA Tour, he couldn't do it. They wouldn't allow him to do it. But over there on the Live, they're like, I don't care what you do, Bryson. Just go out there and have a. He has like 12 people with him all the time.
He seems like a fun guy to be around.
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know if Koepka likes to be around him, but there is that. There. You know that's their issue. I don't care. I think that was all made for TV so that they could have their little match.
You think so?
And make a bunch of money for it. I think that a lot of it was, and then they met and they said, okay, let's have a match now and see. You know, I think a lot of it was. I don't know, orchestrated, whatever. But Billy Horschel, none too pleased. I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see. I think the PGA Tour is going to win on this thing, but there's certainly been damage done to the PGA Tour. We'll find out whether or not they're going to be able to survive it. 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number if you'd like to get in here to hang with us. Right now, I want to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Those are my peeps over there at the Morley Law Firm. What they're doing is they're helping people. They really are. They are helping you through tough times. You don't want to to have issues, right? And of course you don't. You don't want the police after you. You don't want to be sued civilly. You don't want to have insurance problems. You don't want to have an accident. None of these things are things that you want, right? But you got to get through them. You got to have representation. You got to have people that are going to be behind you that know the law and are going to be able to help you through these trying times. And you know what? If that's the case, then you need experience. You want somebody that's going to be on your side, and that's what the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Okay, you got immigration issues? Say habla español. They're going to help you with that. You got any kind of an accident that you're not getting what you should out of the insurance company? You got them for that too. You're getting sued. You're getting charged with something. You got them here for you. All you got to do is go to the MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com, or make the call. Morley Law, 713-839-9955. Make the call, Morley Law.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
By the way, somebody in Twitch said, Lance, Aaron Judge is just better than you. This is the bad thing about making comments like that. The internet still works. And so you can still go to pages like Baseball Reference. Jordan is whipping his ass in every category imaginable other than home runs, because he's played also, by the way, 8 fewer games Jordan has. Strikeouts, I mean, Jordan has struck out. Jordan has 298 plate appearances. He struck out a total of 51 times. Hold on. Is this Jordan? Yeah. This is Jordan, 51 times. By the way, last year, 145. This year, like, that thing's been cut in the third. He's done unbelievable. 51 strikeouts for him.
Well, last year was a whole year, though. So
yeah, Aaron Judge has 86 strikeouts and 344. Strikes out way more. Jordan, higher war. Jordan has a higher number of runs better than average. Wins above average, Jordan. Pretty much every metric that you can find, all the data and all the analytics that Major League Baseball uses now to measure worth and value, Jordan is ahead of Aaron Judge now in all of them. Every single one of them across the board in that degree. The only thing you can look at and say, but what about home runs? That's your argument. That Aaron Judge has 29 home runs and Jordan has 25. That's your argument? Because there's really nowhere else you can point to.
Yeah, so suck on that, clutch, whoever said that he's better.
Clutch? Yeah, I mean, this idea that this is like, come on. We all know Aaron Judge is better than Jordan. No, we don't. Because none of the data backs it up.
Yeah.
None of the data legitimately backs it up. So you can't really say that. That's just saying something out loud to say it out loud. No, that's why John's saying he'll win, Aaron Judge will win because he lives in New York. You know, it's that mindset that if it's just because he lives in New York and you've heard about Aaron Judge, but I'm guessing that's why somebody in a chat function will say, well, Lance, Aaron Judge is obviously better than Jordan. He's actually not. By any objective measurables, he's not better than Jordan. He's not.
Yeah.
Anybody who gets into the numbers, and you're going to hear this argument soon, there's going to be an article at some point soon, I guarantee you, where somebody nationally is going to say, we need to start talking about Jordan. And that's what the article is going to be. And they'll do a whole long-form piece on ESPN, either .com or on ESPN, you know, TV, where they start looking at all these numbers because it's just unbelievable.
I'm sending you sound from Steve Phillips right now, RJ. And here's him on that. But we do need to get to this other sound that we have, and this is Adam Schefter. And you guys touched on it on Friday, I guess, over at Cobos Q. I wasn't there. You guys touched on it briefly about the difference between asking for a trade, demanding a trade in the NFL and in the NBA. And here's Adam Schefter on it.
Last year, Aaron Rodgers wanted to be traded. Was he traded? No, he was not. This year, Deebo Samuel wanted to be traded. Was he traded? No, he was not. Now, I know basketball is a different sport, but just because a superstar player, a la Aaron Rodgers, a la Deebo Samuel, wants to be traded, doesn't mean that a team has to acquiesce and go and trade that guy. Now, saying that, I know basketball is different. I know that when superstars ask for trades, more often than not, they have to be accommodated. And if the Nets decide to do accommodate Kevin Durant, I'd have one name in return that I would want to get back for him. Scottie Barnes.
Why interesting. Why is Chef speaking on basketball?
I don't know, but
it's weird.
I like it.
Yeah. No, he's right. And in NFL people that I talk to, they're like dumbfounded. Why would they trade to him? You don't have to. He's under contract. But the NFL, to be honest, I mean, Schefter needs to start paying attention now. A.J. Brown's not with the Titans anymore. Deebo, they have taken a hard line on Deebo. Deebo's going to be back with San Francisco. But there's some NFL players now who have been traded. You could argue that it's primarily because of the financial considerations at wide receiver now. But A.J. Brown started chirping, and this new thing where you take all your stuff off social media is just the most...
It is, but again,
it's one of the weirdest. But
he makes a pretty good point. Kevin Durant just signed a 4-year deal. Why did they have to trade him?
Well, it was the same point that Bucky Brooks made that I tried to bring to the show. When Bucky said, I'm sorry. And remember, Bucky worked for two NFL organizations and played. He said, I'm sorry. The Houston Texans can just tell Deshaun Watson he's playing. I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't want to.
That's
what I try to tell him, like, he doesn't want to play. And he's like, I don't care. He's getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
So he either plays and gets his paycheck, or he doesn't play and doesn't get a paycheck. To Bucky, he thought it was really cut and dried back in the day. I'm like, yeah, but Bucky, he's mad at the Texans. And he did some rap lyrics. Did you not see what he said by Future? All the game, the world is a game. You hoes be hating on my name. He had a whole thing that he said.
Well,
I don't care what rap lyrics he put. He's under contract. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, Bucky, that's right. It does make sense. This whole COVID thing has me confused.
Well, and Durant is, by the way, if you don't want to play, okay. What about your $44 million this year, $47, $51, $54 million?
Yeah, Kevin Durant, they could basically end his career if they wanted to. The bottom line is, okay, if we I don't think it's the worst idea to trade Kevin Durant if they want to reset. Because Kevin Durant right now has way more value than Kevin Durant in 2 years. But if you're going to do that, the problem is, John, you can't just guarantee Kevin Durant you can go to the – number one, there's a rule about rookie max extensions. You can only take so many back, and they've got Ben Simmons, which screws that all up. So how you have to trade is you're a little bit more limited. So you're probably not going to be able to – it's going to be harder to do a deal with the Suns, harder to do a deal with the Heat. You just have to get the best deal. You have to say, look, Kevin, would you rather play here, or we can get a hell of a deal from the Nuggets? And he may just have to be okay with that. Like,
what about Utah?
Yeah. He wants to go where it's easiest to win.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah, but that's not going to be.
Everybody does.
That's not going to be.
And I want my $54 million a year?
Yeah, he wants as much as he can get, and he wants the easiest possible road to a championship.
Well,
the problem is that's probably not going to happen if the Nets are to get their very best package. And the Nets should only be caring about the Nets because ultimately they're responsible for their – they're not responsible to national media that wants KD to, I hope KD gets everything he wants, or KD fans. They're responsible for Nets fans, season ticket holders. Your job is to make your fans at home and your season ticket holders happy and give them a chance to compete later. And the best way to do that is just find the best deal.
Your responsibility is to make the Brooklyn Nets the best team that you can possibly 100%, make.
That's your only responsibility.
That's it.
And you have to let KD know, like, listen, we can get a hell of a deal from, you know, honestly, we got a great deal coming from Sacramento. How do you feel about that? Terrible? Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, you know, we're not going to be able to just trade you to the best necessarily to the best. And now maybe it works out where he gets traded somewhere he wants, but more than likely they're going to have five different teams. You know, they need to have considerations for multiple teams. The Texans did. The Texans like, yeah, we're glad you like to go certain places that you want to go to the Miami Dolphins. That's great. If Miami comes up with it, we can trade you there. But ultimately, you're going to Cleveland now. I doubt that Deshaun's top choice was Cleveland. But you had to, you know, not Deshaun had to be okay with the team, but the Texans had to be okay with the
package.
His top choice
was Cleveland because they were giving him $230 million guaranteed.
Well, remember, the top choice, I mean, his choices, this is where he wanted to go, Miami and San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then San Francisco drafted Trey Lance, so that was out. Miami couldn't come to an agreement with the owner, said, we can't settle on these cases, we're not doing this trade. And then it became,
which was smart.
The Texans basically said, tell us what the compensation is, and we'll tell you if you can talk to us about Deshaun.
Now, I had never heard that before, and I heard somebody laud Nick Caserio again yesterday, saying, I got to give big ups to Nick Caserio, because could not have been smarter the way he went about that. And, you know, if truth be told, finally the Texans organization doesn't look like a bunch of bumbling idiots, and it's all because of Nick Caserio. He wouldn't budge on trading him before, before he could get the max, which was after the criminal charges were dropped. You know, everybody was, there were a lot of people that were like, well, get him out of there. Get him out. What are you doing? Get him out of there. You got to get him out of there. Did he look, making the organization, all of that stuff. He waited. And then I'd never heard of anybody saying you can't talk to him unless we find out what the compensation is first.
But he's under contract. But you've also never heard of anyone give somebody $27 million signing bonus and have that guy take your money, spend it on trips and Lamborghinis and not play, which, by the way, happened. That was actually things that happened.
Yeah. And then another $10 million more last year for nothing.
Yeah, so you can't like, no, we're looking out for us. And that's Nick's job.
Yeah.
Nick's job is, Nick is shirking his job title and responsibilities if he's not looking out for Cal McNair's best interest and the fan base's best interest. He's got to do that. He's got to do that. And that's what he did. I think he did a good job with it. You know, all things told, I think Rafael Stone did a good job with James when James put them in a tough position. And, you know, it's so it goes. So, but to the point, RJ, about why is basketball is more run by the players. They gave over leverage to the players years ago. I would argue with Jordan, and that's just more of the norm where the player, and I would also say the guaranteed contract is a bit of a problem because the guaranteed contract gives the player another set of leverage. The NFL, for the complaints that people have about it, when you don't have a guaranteed contract, not all of it's guaranteed, there is more leverage for the team so that the player has to live up to the contract, meaning perform at a certain level. If you don't perform at the level you're being paid for, you can be cut. And we know that the structure of some contracts are set up to basically the agent set them up to where you either have to make them a cap casualty or you have to redo the contract. So that's part of it. All the contracts have basically dead money at the end that you're never even going to get to. The big ones do. But in the NFL, it's still more of a team sport. You still have 53-man roster. In basketball, let's face it, you may have a 15-man roster. You may have an 8-to-9-man rotation, but there's three guys on your team that basically run the team.
Yeah, absolutely. 759 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. RJ brought something. Well, I saw this tweet yesterday, too, by Warren Sharp. Coaching changes. Which team will have the biggest impact from their coaching change? And will the Texans be among them? We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, you're talking about Paul Miller.
I'm talking about the guy who owns Jack's Grill, the guy who owns where we go get our wings. Whenever Snacks wants his wings for his birthday's coming up July 11th. So that means we're going to be going there for lunch every year. It's become a tradition. This will be 4 years in a row. I got to go get him his 12 wings and his fries. That's what he likes to have for his birthday. I'm telling you right now, Jack's Grill has a ton of different comfort food for you. No matter what you're looking for, you want the fajitas, they've got the fajitas. If you're looking for the wings, as I mentioned, you've got the wings. They've got things like the baked potato soup, which is really good. Roasted corn and chicken chowder. And I know you're thinking it's not winter. A good soup is a good soup. You can have it anytime you're looking for that. Shrimp salad, fajita salad. They've got the buffalo chicken sandwich, the grilled chicken sandwich. Would you like the backyard barbecue burger with the American cheese, bacon, barbecue aioli, crispy onion strings? That's waiting for you, as well as veggie burger or turkey burger if you're looking in that direction. Stuffed baked potatoes and so much more, including chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken. Yes, you can still get a good chicken fried steak and chicken fried chicken, and it's at one of the three locations here around the Houston area. Go to jacksgrillhouston.com and check it out. They got TVs all over the place, so it's a great spot to stop in. Kids drink soft drink. You get your Jack's Rita. You have some great food, and you watch your sporting events on the TVs at all the locations. jacksgrillhouston.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.